Justin. Christian greetings to each one here this morning. I feel blessed with what we learned so far in our study this morning of his word. And I guess the message that God laid in my heart this morning is, I believe some of the same thoughts that were given in Sunday school touches on this. And I guess is something that is dear to my heart and is such a blessing I find in my own spiritual walk. And I want to share this morning, and I trust it can be an inspiration and a blessing to you as well. As a way of introduction to what I plan to speak on this morning, I thought I would just put a word on the board to stimulate some of your thinking of what I'd like to talk about this morning in our message. I will just put that on there at this time. I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning as we look into his word. The word hope. What would life be on this side of eternity without hope? It'd be a desperate situation if we didn't have eternally have that hope. This morning, for the title of message, I have hope to the end. This hope they want to talk about is a hope that perseveres. It speaks of perseverance. As we look at them few words, I'd like to just look at some verses in reference to these words I wrote down. First one is on heaven. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that he worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Heaven is possible through this hope. We have abundant provisions, like it talks about in this passage here, through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says God knows each of us personally. Each one is named. We can experience the blessings of the riches of his glory, strengthened by the might of the Spirit of the inner man, so that Christ can dwell richly in our hearts. We can claim this by faith, can be rooted and grounded in him, and we can understand what he has done for us and how God's plan is for his people. Then in being overcomers, I'd like to look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So we see one who is an overcomer and keepeth, is in surrender to God's will, keepeth his works unto the end. He will give power to them. And the next one is peace. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's many things in the world that can tempt us to be afraid or to be troubled. But here Christ is saying, he leaves peace with us. He gives a peace that the world cannot give. And he tells us that with this peace we do not have anything to fear. And then eternal hope. I'd like to look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So God, here we can see that he has promised this to his children. It says, the God that cannot lie, he has promised before the world began that he will give his children eternal life. I believe these are the lays the groundwork for what are blessings that we can experience of hope, eternal hope in Christ. For a text this morning, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses, and I'd like to look at verse 6 to 14. This passage here, this epistle was written to the Christians here by Peter, and it was a time of severe persecution that they were facing, and I believe Peter himself was facing, but he also understood the challenge that was before the people there, and here he's encouraging them to keep their focus on this eternal goal, this hope that has only come through Christ. We'll just read this passage at this time, verses 6 to 14. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, and as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe Peter's writing in this passage closes on a positive note here. It is an encouraging note that he left with them. In verse, Peter also gives reminders of how we should live to have it and to experience this hope. And that is found in verses 6 to 8 there. He gives us some of the fruits here, what God wants to see in our lives for us to experience the blessings of hope. We need to have a humble heart. Be humble before God so that God can exalt as he will. God wants us to cast all our care on him. Put our dependence on him. It says he's there to care for us. He's there to help us through the persecution or trials we might face. Be sober. think seriously about life and about where we stand before God. Live lives that demonstrate God's love to those around us. Take life seriously. Be vigilant. Vigilant talks about being dedicated to his work and taking it serious. Being, we could say, be aggressive with our desires to learn to know more of him and active. And the reason we need to be this way is because we need to be alert to the one who is lurking to try and destroy us. For no matter how terrible the fiery trial that we face, we face many different trials, and they do come. We as Christians can always look forward and have a hope. And God is asking us to keep our focus on him. It'll help us to keep our focus on this hope. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In these last few verses in Peter's writings here, Peter offers in verse 10 a benediction. In verse 11, he is a doxology. Verse 12, a summary. He mentions faithful brothers there. And then in verse 13, he gives some words of greeting. And then in verse 14, we see how he brings out the command to love one another. And also a final prayer for peace. He brings out in verse 14 also. In Peter's concluding remarks here, we find several reasons why Christians can always have hope, even in the midst of hard trials. What are some of the things that make it possible for to live in reality of this eternal and lively hope? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We can serve a risen Lord this morning. Christ conquered sin and death through salvation. We too can live a risen life free from sin, which makes it possible to live a lively hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. The first point I'd like to bring out is in the message is we have God's grace that is all sufficient. Indeed, his grace is manifold. It's an amazing grace. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, and as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As we have received, let's encourage one another and share together in this wonderful privilege that we have. Just as his gifts are varied, so he provides whatever we need in any circumstances we might face. God's grace is sufficient to get us through. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm thankful for that this morning, that God's grace is sufficient to help when we feel a need in our life and we feel maybe overburdened or overwhelmed. Reach out to him. I like the thought that Brother LeRae brought out in the devotional book. God's hand is extended there. And sometimes we just need to reach out and to take His hand when we feel weak and in need. A wonderful thought that God's grace is sufficient. It's abundant to those who believe in Him. This morning we stand in the true grace of our God, like it brings out in verse 12. We can stand steadfast. Our salvation is because of His grace. In 1 Peter 1 verse 10 it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Those who are saved have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In 1 Peter 2 verse 3 it says, "If so be that ye have tasted the Lord is gracious." In the previous verse 2, we can experience and appreciate God's grace, and we desire to learn all we can from God's word and grow by it. In knowing that by remaining faithful to Christ, we stand in the true grace of God. We can take comfort in knowing that the God of all grace will be with us every step of the way in life. Which leads us to another comforting thought as we think of the hope that we have. And that brings us to our second point, and that is we can look forward to going to glory. I'd like to read Titus chapter 3, verse 7. "That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I love that thought of being made heirs of the hope of eternal life. God has made us heirs of His kingdom through the work of Christ on the cross. God has called us to His eternal glory, like it says in verse 10, "The God of all grace, who hath called us in His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while." You know, this journey that we're on, suffering is just a part of it, and Christ had to go through that also. But this is God's way of helping us to understand Him and to refine us, and to help us appreciate in a more real way the blessings that we can experience through our surrender to Him. That glory that He's speaking about involves the inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1 verse 4, "It is pure. Nothing can corrupt this glory. It will always be there." This glory involves suffering. But as I brought it earlier, it is no different than what Jesus experienced as He was walked on this earth. In Luke 24 verse 26 it says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" We too, as His children, can look forward to participating in His glory if we're willing to suffer with Him. And that was brought out a bit in our Sunday school lesson also. Suffering is part of this. But when we suffer for Christ, it always brings out a rewarding experience, and there is rest. We can find rest in that. I'd like to look at 1 Peter verse 4 verse chapter 4 verse 13 and 14. "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. When we suffer for Christ and understand why we need to suffer, God will receive glory from our suffering when we take it patiently, as Christ did. Knowing what is ahead for those who persevere can help us to remain steadfast in faith. Third point I have is our suffering is temporary. It is only for a short while. Our life span here on earth is not long. 1 Peter 1:6, Peter mentions that suffering is only for a season. It is for a short time. The nature of physical sufferings are only temporary. They will not last forever. And we can look forward to this hope, knowing that someday this suffering will be past, and that will be behind us, and we can experience the blessings of being around God's throne, free from suffering. Notice the contrast between suffering and glory. Suffering is for a while. Glory is eternal. Is not the glory that we can look forward to worth the suffering? Apostle Paul believed it was worth suffering for. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Just as the Christian, we can't see everything, but one thing is, it's like almost putting on a pair of glasses. We can see beyond the temporal things of this life by living for Christ. God gives us, helps our view to help us to view His will and His purpose for us when we look at our suffering through how He would like us to look at it. Not only can we remain hopeful knowing that suffering is temporary, to be replaced by glory that is eternal. When we suffer, we can take consolation in knowing that it'll be replaced with eternal hope someday in heaven if we're faithful to Him. With suffering comes, the fourth point I have is, with suffering comes blessings, and like it brings out in verse 10. God has promised to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God's will is always perfect when we take suffering patiently. The word perfect here means to equip, to adjust, to fit together. God perfects His people using several of these tools. And one of these tools is the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I'd like to look at that briefly. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. When we allow these things, God's word, to correct us, give us reproof, and instruct us, it helps to bring perfection. And it says he'll live a life that is pleasing to God. Gifts were given to the church to work towards perfecting one another. In Ephesians, it talks about that. Suffering is certainly another tool. Suffering and trials teach us how to be patient and to just be surrendered to God's will through the suffering. God will establish. This means to fix firmly and to set fast. Christians need to be steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5:9, we need to be steadfast in the faith and resist the evil. Through persecution often comes steadfastness for one who has endured this suffering for the cause of Christ. Is not likely to be led away from truth because they understand where blessing lies and where, because they have that focus on eternal, their eternal goal, their hope. We have a promise. God will always strengthen. He will make one stronger, which will be a normal consequence of enduring trial patiently. It is a choice we have to make. We're willing to choose to suffer for Christ and keep our focus where it should be. God will settle. Part of this establishing is he will lay a foundation. God wants us to be a solid Christians, just like the house that was built on the rock. In conclusion, for those who remain faithful in suffering, God will bless them in the four ways it lists in verse 10 of this passage. We can have confidence knowing that we have God's grace. God has promised that his grace is sufficient for every need. We're going to glory. We have hope of that eternal life. Our suffering is only temporary. And then with suffering comes blessing. Peter closes his letter with an exhortation to love. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Also, he brings out a prayer for peace. Peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. May the example of Peter's confidence and hope inspire you, inspire all of us, to remain faithful of the hope and of our short time on earth as God's children. I would like to close with the verses here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 and 7, 16 and 18. Maybe it's 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. And then down in verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May God bless.